I'm your host, Malik Johnson. We have today a very special guest, the fierce, outspoken, and politically astute Congresswoman herself from the 35th District of California, the Honorable Maxine Waters. Formerly a teacher, Congresswoman Waters was elected to the California State Assembly in 1976 and then elected to the United States Congress in 1991. Congresswoman Waters, I want to say that it is absolute an honor to have you with us, and I understand that you were late because of you were voting on the Jefferson issue, something related to that.
Yes, we had two votes. One was put up by the Republicans and another by the Democrat, basically talking about what to do about the fact that Congressman Jefferson has been indicted. And how the Ethics Committee should get involved in doing an investigation at this point in time. But to tell you the truth, both the Democrats and Republicans are really just trying to out kind of law and order each other. As you know, the Democrats ran on a platform of the culture of corruption. So each side is trying to show that even when it's a member of Congress, if they are indicted for wrongdoing, that they're going to step in right away, and the Ethics Committee is going to look at it, investigate it, and even take action even prior to the courts adjudicating it. So that's what that was all about.
What exactly would they try to do? I know there's federal charges of racketeering, money laundering, and soliciting more than $400,000 in bribes. What is it that what would the Ethics Committee try to do?
Well, the Ethics Committee could strip him of his they could strip him of his committees, all of his committee assignments. They could even go to the floor and try and get a vote to expel him from the Congress of the United States. So they have a number of things they could do.
Congresswoman Waters, wouldn't that happen automatically if, in fact, he's found guilty?
That's absolutely true. However, again, we're in a political atmosphere where each side is trying to show that it's tough on crime and corruption, and so you will see these kinds of maneuvers where these maneuvers are designed to describe how serious you are about dealing with corruption here in the House.
Oh, I see. You know, Congresswoman Waters, I wanted to briefly touch upon the presidential election in 2000.
Yes.
In 2000, members of the Congressional Black Caucus tried blocking the acceptance of Florida's electoral votes during a joint session. And I recall you vividly saying, in response to the federal law which required at least one senator needed to sign a formal objection questioning a state's electoral votes, I recall you vividly saying, and boldly, the objection is in writing, and I don't care that it isn't signed by a member of the Senate. Why couldn't you all get at least, why couldn't the Congressional Black Caucus get at least one senator to sign the formal objection?
Well, you know, that's an unanswered question. It's still a question that is being raised from time to time by people who observe politics and understand what happened that day. Just as you're discussing it now, it's still unanswered. Not one senator stepped up to the plate to join with us to oppose the Electoral College, and it's almost ceremonial in the way that it is treated. And we were trying to break that mode and to object to the Electoral College actually signing off on this election, but we could not get the support from any of the senators.
Al Gore was presiding over the joint session.
He had to. That's how the that's how it is constructed by the Constitution.
And after you said you didn't care that it isn't signed by a member of the Senate, Al Gore promptly replied, well, somewhat promptly, he said, quote, the chair would advise that the rules do care.
Yeah, he did. Being a good elected official, a good senator, following the rules, not willing to step outside the box. But do what they ordinarily and always do as part of the system.
I was scratching my head, and I'm pretty sure many listeners who are listening right now in radio land, they're scratching their heads too at the time, saying, well, the Congressional Black Caucus is fighting hard for you, and you make a comment like that.
That's right. The system is such that It so captures and captivates the elected officials. They're afraid to step outside of it, and they're anxious to show that they're working within the system and not challenging the rules. And it's the ordinary way of doing business around here. And he absolutely made that remark. I'll remember it for the rest of my life. He did that. And again, he was part of the club. That's the way business is done.
Is it the good old boys club?
Hello?
Yeah, you're there? Congresswoman?
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening to you. Are we not able to hear? Can people hear me? Okay. I think we've lost the congresswoman. So I think that he's going to go ahead and call the congresswoman back up again. Her phone, yeah, it seems like her phone dropped off. I don't know exactly what happened there. But we're having a fabulous, wonderful discussion, actually. Anyway, we're speaking with Congresswoman Maxine Waters. She's 35th District of California. She, of course, I don't know, a lot of people may not know a lot about her, but she basically captivated us during the 2000 election, where she alone stood up.
Hello?
Are
We're
you there,
back.
Congresswoman?
We're
oh,
back.
Excellent. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened, Congresswoman.
Me either.
You know, Congresswoman, you step out the box quite often, and that's probably why so many people have put you on a celebrity status.
Oh.
There are people in the minority community pretty much worship you, and when they hear your name, they immediately smile.
Wow. Well, I am a legislator and an organizer, and I have a philosophy of life. I care about people, and I act on my beliefs. And I try not to get caught up in the ordinary way of doing business. I try to make sense out of things so that I am being true to my philosophy of life. In doing that, it does sometimes take me outside the box, and I'm not uncomfortable out there. That's what I need to be doing.
Congresswoman, you were talking about certain individuals not wanting to step outside the box. Do you think there's a good old boys network in Congress?
Of course it is. Of course it is. You know, this institution has been shaped and molded by the good old boys, and it's not easy to change them or to, break up their way of doing things. And oftentimes it gets in the way of really being able to act on behalf of the people, and that's when sometimes the system has to be challenged. And so, this institution is a good old boys club for the most part.
You say you act upon your beliefs. You know, October 16, 2002, Congress passed the Authorization for Use of Military Force Against Iraq Resolution of 2002. You, Congresswoman, voted against it. My question, and many people's question, is how did you know to vote against it on October 10, 2002?
Well, if you followed what was happening in the buildup to the war, and you watch the way the president acted and the way he rejected the UN inspectors asking him to give them more time, you could see that he was anxious to march into Iraq, that he was trying to build his reputation of being tough and would have the American people believe that because of 9/11, he had to do extraordinary things to make us safer and to protect us. You could see the politics in it. You could see the unwillingness to wait for more inspections. And it just didn't add up that we were going to march into war on what I believe to be unproven allegations. And so I thought we should have taken more caution. We should have slowed down. We should have been had more facts, and it was easy for me, and I think it was 16 others at that time, to be against it.
The UN Resolution 1441 that Colin Powell discussed at the United Nations, it required that the inspectors come back and make their report to the UN as a body itself. With, you know, the UN Charter and the UN Resolution 1441 and U.S. Constitution Article 6, Clause 2, discussing treaties being supreme law of the land, do you think that this war the United States is involved in Iraq is illegal?
Oh, I think that it probably is, and if not, it's certainly immoral. I cringe at the way so many American and British and coalition soldiers have died, and so many civilians, children and women, men and women, families have lost their lives. Every time I think about Fallujah and the way that they went into people's homes and the way people were killed, it just makes me shudder. I think that there's no reason for this war, that there certainly were no weapons of mass destruction. I believe that Saddam was bluffing. I thought that if we had taken more time, we could have done that. Even Colin Powell has admitted that going up to the UN and showing those pictures, supposedly, of the locations where weapons of mass destruction were being developed and produced, he has said that is one of the worst things that he did in his career, and that he regrets it.
Wow. You know, the Patriot Act was passed apparently in the thick of night. Did you vote on the Patriot? I think you did. You
yes,
voted
I
against
did.
It. Did...
What we did in the Judiciary Committee was we pulled back the Patriot Act that he was about to get passed. We finally convinced some of the members on the Republican side not to go with the President's Patriot Act. We were able to make it better than it was when he brought it to us, and still it wasn't good enough, but it was one of those times when we figured that it would be a lot worse if we had allowed it to go forward in the way that he had first brought it to us. And so we were able to scale it back, to modify it somewhat, and to pass it.
One of the biggest issues right now, one of the hot topics still, is the latest funding bill, H.R. 2206, recorded May 24, 2007. That's the Making Emergency Supplemental Appropriations for the Fiscal Year Ending September 30, 2007. Many citizens have solely blamed the Democrat Party for the war funding bill's passing. I did some research, and I found that most Democrats voted against it, actually. And you voted against it.
I voted against it, and I think it was 140 of us in the House that voted against it. But here's what people are upset about. The November elections certainly was an election where the people were voting against this war and saying to the Democrats, we're going to put you in power to stop this war. And they're not convinced that that's what we're really trying to do. It has been nuanced. It has been, redefined. Everything has been done to try and talk about, we don't like the war, but we've got to not pull the rug out from under the soldiers. We don't like the war, but we don't know what's going to happen if we pull out, that the Civil War will be so bad. Many people will die and the country will be torn up. We don't like the war, but it's not playing. It doesn't play well with the American people. It looks as if you're making excuses, as if you're not willing to do what you need to do in order to bring those our soldiers home and let the other soldiers go back to their homes that are in this weak coalition. And so the American people are not happy. Too many Democrats are still voting for it, and we could have stopped it.
I was curious, if the Democrats are really against it, stop funding it. It seems as though when the Republicans say, well, you're not supporting the troops, then many Democrats just turn around and say, okay, I give in. And I find that very interesting. I have to ask this. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, what
yes.
do you think of the Democratic presidential candidates? If you had to vote for one right now, who would you vote for?
Okay, I think the Democrats, we have a darn good array of Democrats who are very, very qualified, and we have a lot of choices that, you know, to choose from. We've got Barack Obama, who has come out and created a lot of excitement and looks like a young man with new ideas and new kind of energy to help infuse into, you know, the voters. We've got Hillary Clinton, who has done her homework. The both of them are raising lots of money. She has the experience of having been the first lady and now in the United States Senate. She's smart and capable and has conducted herself fabulously well since she's been in. We've got two of the most experienced senators that's ever been in the Senate, Biden and Dodd, both of whom know world politics and foreign affairs and all the world leaders. And we also know that we've got Dennis Kucinich, who is a good, sound liberal and progressive, who's challenging them all. And we've got a good field to pick from. I'm not going to choose now. I still all to speak to.
Okay.
I like John Edwards as well as I like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Dodd and what have you. But John Edwards is the only one that's speaking to poverty and speaking about the two Americas and went to New Orleans to show what has happened there and how, in fact, you know, we could be doing more. So they've got a long way to go in my book to step up to all of the issues that need to be talked about. And I'm waiting, I'm watching, and I will eventually choose, but I haven't done it yet.
Well, if you had to choose only from the Republicans, who would you vote for?
None of them are worth voting for. I wouldn't choose any of them. I think that they have a sad group over there that don't really know, you know, really who they are. You know, you've got Giuliani, who goes from being a progressive to being a conservative. You've got McCain, whose day has come and gone and passed. You don't have anything over there. I mean, they don't have anything worth thinking about.
Well, I want to know, you know, Congressman Dennis Kucinich, one of the presidential candidates from Ohio, he is seeking, has sought the articles of impeachment. And many organizations are calling for their impeachment. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, said that impeachment's off the table. Question, would you be willing, if articles of impeachment were in fact passed by the House Judiciary Committee, would you be in favor of impeaching George Bush and Dick Cheney?
Well, right now I'm in favor of going after what I think is the true poster boy of what is wrong with the Republican Party and this administration, and that's Dick Cheney. You know, he's like... he's the evil one who everybody really understands, not only is one of the masterminds of the Iraq war, but has done more to guide the president in lying about the weapons of mass destruction. And so I think that he's a good symbol of what's wrong with them, and perhaps an impeachment of Dick Cheney would gather even more support, because you still have a lot of Americans who think that the only reason the Democrats wanted to get back in was to go after George W. Bush. So I am seriously thinking about it and will probably sign on to Mr. Kucinich's bill to impeach Dick Cheney.
So you don't agree with Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, when she says it's
off the
table?
Oh, no, not necessarily. I do agree that it would take up a lot of time, and that if in fact the committees took it up, that a lot of our time and attention would be focused on it. While we do want to take these next 2 years to show what we can be done, I'm working very hard to get the resources into the Gulf Coast and try and get the housing back into New Orleans and to Mississippi and Alabama and those places that were so destroyed by hurricanes Rita and Katrina. And also, we're working on universal comprehensive health care, which is just absolutely paramount. We have millions upon millions of Americans without health insurance. We have an education system that's failing with George Bush's anemic Leave No Child Behind way of handling education. So I do understand. I don't agree that he doesn't need to be impeached. He needs to be impeached. I agree that it would take up a lot of time and distract us from our core Democratic agenda. And in the absence of doing that, I think that what we need to do is at least put some attention on Mr. Cheney. It may not come up, it may not be taken up, but I think the American people would rally around it and help us to define, you know, this administration, who they are, and why we must get him out of the White House and get a Democrat in.
What is the probability of the United States of America attacking Iran?
I hope it never happens, and it does not happen. I worry about it. I think that we should focus our attention on everything that the president is doing. I'm pleased that I have learned that despite the fact there's a lot of big, bad talk about Iran, that there are some quiet negotiations and meetings that are going on. So maybe the president has a little bit more sense than we thought he had, and he knows that he doesn't have the support for attack on Iran, and that we are stretched thin in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that we can't afford to be taken on Iran and or Syria. And then there's North Korea sitting over there with Kim Jong-il that you never know what will happen with, and China growing in its threat. And now Putin out of Russia saying, wait just a minute, we hear that you're about to put up some kind of defense missile system over in Europe. You better not do it, because we're not going to allow you to. So I think that there's enough going on in the world that would help even the most foolhardy understand that that would not be a good thing to do.
That wouldn't be a wise choice. President Bush seems to, he intends to deploy a missile defense system in Czech Republic and Poland. And Vladimir Putin has threatened to target Russian missiles at Europe. And
that's
I'm
right.
Saying, I'm thinking, I was utterly amazed. I said, wow, this is getting totally out of hand. And, of course, you didn't mention Venezuela. It seems as though Bush has... What is Bush's fixation on Hugo Chavez?
Well, I don't know, but I know this. I do know that too often we have treated Central America and the Caribbean as just banana republics who have to dance to our music, and that there's a growing resistance to that. And Hugo Chavez has been able to create solidarity throughout these areas against, you know, the kind of treatment that they've had by my country. And so I think that he is perhaps seen by Bush as a threat because of his leadership. Plus, he's got oil. And he's been able to help out Cuba, Haiti, and other countries who desperately need oil. And they've never had that kind of assistance or resource before. So he's seen as a threat, I think. And that's one of the reasons that they tried to undermine him with our own CIA, but he overcame that also.
Thank you, Congresswoman Maxine Waters from the 35th District of California. The Honorable Maxine Waters is here speaking with us on The People Speak. Congresswoman, would you be so kind to accept a few questions? There's some callers who would like to ask you some brief questions.
Okay, all right.
We're going to take the first caller here, Elizabeth from Florida. Come up and ask your question of the Congresswoman, and please be very brief. Okay, it doesn't seem like the Congress, it doesn't seem like the Elizabeth is here. Perhaps Elizabeth could, we'll go with the next person. I don't know if the next person's there. If you have a question for Congresswoman Maxine Waters, please ask your question. Oh, I'm sorry. She is, in fact, here. Elizabeth, please come and be very brief. Time is of the essence. Go ahead.
Hello, Elizabeth? I can't hear you.
I don't see that Elizabeth's there.
Can't hear you.
I don't see the...
Sorry, the technology, Congresswoman. Malik had not released the mic, so it was stopping me from coming to the mic. Peace and blessings, Congresswoman Waters. Much love, much respect. One of the questions that I have for you briefly is that as though the Congressional Black Caucus has shown a lack of leadership since the incident that occurred with Cynthia McKinney. They feel as though perhaps we're a bit disillusioned and feel as though the caucus has not been as vocal as it should be. Thank you. I'll close out the mic and listen to your response.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Hello?
Yes, you there, Congresswoman? Did you get
the
question?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, did you get the question from the caller?
No, I did not.
I think she was asking questions that the Congressional Black Caucus has not been as outspoken as they have been in the past, and why is that?
On any particular issue?
I didn't get the particular issue that she was talking about.
Know. I think the Congressional Black Caucus pays attention to most of the important issues, and if we have not been heard on one particular issue, maybe because we have been concentrating on other things, but we are basically the conscience of the caucus of the Congress, and you can normally find us out there speaking out.
Oh, and I think she had something also about the Cynthia McKinney, and I understand that Cynthia McKinney is no longer with the Congress, and she was inquiring about what you thought about that as well.
Well, no, Cynthia McKinney is not. I was just thinking about her today as I was listening to some conversation about the Capitol Police and another incident that had taken place. It's quite unfortunate that she is not here. She was a serious legislator who truly cared about the people. I had gone down and campaigned for her in both of her campaigns and helped to get her back here. And it's a great disappointment that the election turned out the way that it did. I don't know what Cynthia is doing now, but I can guarantee you she's out there organizing somewhere, and she may even run again for all we know, but she certainly is a voice that needs to be heard.
Absolutely. We have another caller, Congresswoman. His name is Henry
okay.
from Mississippi. Henry, please come up and ask a very brief question of the Congresswoman.
Thank you. Hello, Congresswoman Waters.
Hi.
I'm just wondering what will Congress do in September once the war funding runs out? That's just what I'm wondering about. What will happen
know.
In September
a lot of
once
the members
this
of
current
Congress
war funding
are
runs
using
out?
That as some kind of a drop-dead date and trying to excuse their more recent vote for the funding by saying that they wanted to give him an opportunity to come with a plan that shows that he's winding out. I don't know, but I suspect that you will have more people who are prepared to vote against the war and trying to end the war in some way and not extend any more funding, because the American people increasingly are opposed to this war, and even Republicans are getting shaky about following the president lock, stock on this war. So I expect that we will increase the numbers who are opposed to it. Whether we'll have enough people that to do it, I just can't tell you. I don't know.
We have another caller. Please, the callers are just they're stacking up here. Will from Texas has a question for you, Congresswoman.
Yes.
Will, come up, please.
Hello, Congresswoman. My question
Hi.
Is, what is Congress doing to ensure the proper allocation of our tax dollars? I mean, answer this in terms of why are we wasting so much money on these unneeded government agencies and this illegal war? Also, why is Congress giving themselves pay raises when there's so many other things that this money can be spent on?
There's always a question about the priorities that are set by Congress for funding and projects that get into the appropriations bill that are hidden, that are not well defined. And, yes, there can always be real questions and objections to some of the things that get funded. When you're dealing with the huge numbers of legislators that deal with this process, 435 in the House and 100 in the Senate, all kind of things happen. It's very hard to keep up with, and actually the oversight really needs to be done by the people who elect folks and send them here and make them accountable. Hold the meetings with them, the town hall meetings, ask the questions. It's not going to be done in a vacuum. It's only going to be done because people are paying attention. Congress is going to vote itself pay increases on some kind of a regular basis. Oftentimes years go past and the increases are the cost of living increases are not put in. I, for one, believe in cost of living increases for everybody. I believe we should have a livable wage, not just a minimum wage, but a livable wage for people who are out there working every day trying to take care of their families. I think that the pay in Congress is not extraordinary. I think that when you look at, you know, the pay that is made by, you know, athletes and entertainers and journalists and all, that, you know, there's a lot more money that is being earned out there by people in a lot of other professions. And the members of Congress who basically leave their families and their homes, they're in Washington 3 or 4 or 5 days a week, pay for 2 residences. I have to have a place in Washington and a place in Los Angeles. I have to have transportation. Have to have the clothing to fit all of the occasions, and on and on and on. I don't think the pay is extraordinary.
Thank you. We have another caller, Michael from Texas. Please be very brief. We have only about 5 minutes with the Congresswoman. So if you could please be very, very brief with your questions. Come on up, Mike.
Good evening, Congresswoman.
Good evening.
Congresswoman Maxine. I want to thank you for the good job that you're doing because, you know, we are being ignored, and want to thank you for your voice for us, the American people. My question is, with House Resolution 333 from Kucinich, what is the status of an impeachment hearing from Kucinich on Cheney, if any?
Well, they probably will not take it up. He has introduced it. But it must now be, it would have to be taken up by the appropriate committee, the Judiciary Committee. None of the committee chairs are going to move to take up anything at this point. The leadership does not want it. And so we're probably going to, he's going to be blocked. But those of us who are going to join him in it, we will probably use it as an organizing tool to go to the American public, get on the Internet, hold press conferences and town hall meetings, and try to ratchet up the pressure. That will help us not only with dealing with the ills of this administration, perhaps, but also ending the war if we can get the people thoroughly roused up and really organized.
Congresswoman, I would like to ask this question about Israel. Do you support the current spending that we, the United States, is giving the state of Israel?
I don't begrudge their spending, but what I would like to see is equal spending done to other countries who need and deserve it just as much. I think that we're not funding many of the other countries. And you know, when you look at the continent of Africa and the needs that are so great with everything from droughts to HIV and AIDS, I think that Israel is disproportionate. The funding is disproportionate to those other countries who are in need, and that we should do everything that we can, and I and others continue to fight for more funding to match that which Israel is getting.
We have one more caller. We only have time for one more caller. Ellie from Portland, please be very brief with your question. Come on up.
Thank you. I'm going to make it very brief. Thank you for your work, Congresswoman Waters. I have a question, and it's relating to Palestine as well. The worldwide left is gathering against the G8 summit and is also very outspoken in recent months against the continuous occupation of Gaza, the West Bank, and the Golan Heights. And there are more and more boycotts now called for, the boycott of Israel. I'm asking you, as a representative and as a member of the U.S. government, what you and the Democrats are planning to do to end the occupation. Thank you.
We believe that the war in Iraq has further exacerbated the problems of the Middle East and further destabilized the Middle East. And we know that solving the problem between the Israelis and the Palestinians is key. And all of us would like to have the answers and see it happen and to make it happen. We are working on that issue. We are working on trying to stop the genocide in Darfur, which is just as horrible and awful. And I want to tell you, these are hard issues, and we don't have all the support that we need in dealing with these issues. While we're doing this, our constituents are saying to us, pay attention to the domestic issues. We've got unemployment. We've got homelessness. We've got a lack of health care. So we try and do it all. We recognize that there's injustice and inequality in the world, and that situation in the Middle East cannot continue. And while there are those of us who try in every way that we possibly can to address it, just know that it is almost seems sometimes impossible, but we're not going to give up.
We had today a very special guest, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, 35th District of California, the Honorable Maxine Waters. Thank you, Congresswoman, for spending the time with us. You know, just giving a little piece of your time is a blessing. It really
is. Thank you for having
me,
and I appreciate being on, and you have wonderful discussion and great questions. You are obviously not only well-prepared, but very well-versed in what is happening in the world and in this Congress.
Well, thank you, Congresswoman. And
you're
please,
welcome.
If you could come back, could you please come back? Because we love you. We really do.
Okay. All right. Well,
thank you very much.
Will do it. We'll block out some time. I'll work with my staff to do it. I like being on your show and look forward to it.
Thank you, Congresswoman. You take care.
I will. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the table by the relief fountain, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.